It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. I appreciate each and every one of you joining us today. Today, take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Strive for excellence. This is our time in history. We need to be involved in what is going on out there. Our goal here is to help you get your brain around these issues so that you can converse with your friends and your family and your colleagues and that in this engage in this battle of ideas that is occurring in our country right now. And so we look at these issues by searching for truth and clarity and looking at these through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. It's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, or the latest silent thief, which is government-induced inflation. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. And be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who support us as we are an independent alternative voice. Producer Steve, happy Monday. I get to work with this great team. That's Producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. It is a Monday, and we have work to do.
Yeah, but is it a happy Monday?
It's always a happy Monday. It's a great day to be alive.
You know, Ebenezer Scrooge, he uttered the words bah humbug more than just at Christmas time.
I think so. You do that with such fervor there. So I am thrilled to have in studio with me Terry Goon. She is the president of Liberty Toastmasters North. Terry, it's great to have you here.
Well, thank you, Kim. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here.
And we're going to be talking with some of our colleagues here in the third and fourth segment. And the subject that we gave them was awakening versus wokeism. I can't wait to hear what they have to say.
I know, I can't either. I do love these table topics. You never know what's going to happen.
You never know what's going to happen. And you are newly elected as the president for Liberty Toastmasters North.
Yes, yes, I am. I'm taking Marshall Dawson's spot. One of the things in Toastmasters that I kind of like is that they have term limits of just 1 year as the president's spot, so people get a chance.
Have you done this before?
No.
Okay. Have you been on the radio before?
Just on your show.
And that was via phone, so here you are in person. Yes. So it's great to have you here.
Thank you.
In the second segment, we'll talk with Carolyn Martin. She is with the Christian Home Educators, let's see, I had the exact title here, of Colorado, Christian Home Educators of Colorado. We've been talking a lot about this Initiative 25 LEAP, which is the Learning Enrichment and Achievement Program Plan. It's probably going to be on the ballot this election in November 2021. As we really have looked at it, we have significant concerns about it. I had written an op-ed about 10 reasons to decline to sign. And Carolyn reached out to me and said that I didn't have something quite right on one of those particular points, and we like to get it right. So she's going to come on. We're going to talk about that. And I think it's very important to get that right. And I did not realize this. I was with some people this weekend, and they said, oh my gosh, I signed that the day before. Can you get your name off the petition? And you can. The deadline to remove your name from Initiative 25 is Monday, August 2nd. You can do this via email. You send an email to the Colorado Secretary of State's office, provide your name, home address, and signature stating after reviewing Initiative 25 LEAP more in depth, you wish to have your name stricken from the petition. Send to ballot.access@sos.state.co.us. Any emails received after Monday, August 2nd, will not be removed. If you wish to verify receipt of the email, you can contact the Secretary of State's office at 303-894-2200. Click on zero and ask to speak with someone who can verify receipt of your email that you sent to ballot.access. And this is from Jan Cook. I do appreciate the research that she did on that. And we will have that in the recap today, which we will post tomorrow. And that information will be there. But if, in fact, you've signed that and you want to get your name off of there, you can do it. So that is great news. Let's go ahead and talk about our quote for today. And I was looking for communication quotes, Terry, since we're going to have our fellow colleagues from Liberty Toastmasters on. And this is from Sidney J. Harris. He was born in 1917. He died in 1986. He was an American journalist for the Chicago Daily News and later the Chicago Sun-Times. He wrote 11 books, and his weekday column, Strictly Personal, was syndicated in approximately 200 newspapers throughout the United States and Canada. And this is what he said. He said, the two words information and communication are often used interchangeably, but they signify quite different things. Information is giving out. Communication is getting through. Terry, what do you think about that?
Well, I love Sidney Harris. I remember reading him quite a bit as when I was younger. I have one of his books of quotes, and he's absolutely correct on this. And one of the beautiful things about Toastmasters, let me go ahead and peg that, the information is, there's information out there, but if you don't get it through to your head and so that you're understanding what that information is about, it's like Brad Beck often talks about. You can state all the facts that you want, but unless you have a story, people aren't necessarily going to hear what it is that you're saying. You need to communicate your story, why it's important, why it touches your heart in order to get through to people.
And the great communicator, last night somebody sent over, one of my good friends sent a text over and said that on Newsmax they had a show on about Ronald Reagan and his humor. Mm. And humor is a great way to communicate with people. And Steve, you bah humbug on Monday mornings, but you have a great sense of humor. So you're able to communicate with people.
Well, I want you to send this quote to Jen Snarky at the White House, because I'm not sure what's coming out of her mouth sometimes, whether it's communication or information. It's just there.
Well, she's probably the word that you and I could not put our fingers on the other day, or our ears or mouth on, was projection. What they project onto others is actually what they are doing. And here they talk about misinformation and disinformation all the time and putting that over on the conservatives, those on the other side of the aisle, and it's actually what they are doing. And I think, for some reason, it took me a while to get back to that word.
So when they do it, why is it, you know, when they project upon you, it's the same feeling you get when a baby barfs on your shoulder.
I guess that's, I hadn't thought of it quite like that. But Terry, that was a great word picture right there.
I know it was. It was a story and it was humor all wrapped up in one. We're going to remember that.
People are going to remember that all day long for sure. Let's go ahead. There's some.
I do what I can.
Let's go ahead and just talk about a couple of these headlines here. First of all, this is from Yahoo News. And it says that it's a statement. How much Colorado is paying influencers to promote COVID-19 vaccines? It says Colorado is paying more than 120 influencers on Instagram, TikTok, and other social media platforms up to $1,000 a month to tell people to get vaccinated against COVID-19, Axios has learned. The so-called influencers include doctors, teachers, Democrat strategists, prominent restaurateurs, musicians, and mothers. And why it matters, the influencers are a key part of the state strategy to encourage hesitant populations to get the vaccine, such as people of color, rural residents, faith communities, and young adults. But the cost of the effort and the identities of the influencers remained undisclosed until now. The Polis administration hired Denver-based Idea Marketing to manage the vaccine information campaign. An $8.8 million contract with the firm runs through September 30th, according to documents obtained by Axios in a series of requests dating back to May. The administration is using federal CARES Act money to pay for it. And the campaign advertising, some of which features Governor Jared Polis on TV and websites, is more visible, but the paid influencers are a lesser known element.
I'd be willing to bet that the people at Idea Marketing, many of them are on vacation right now.
Oh, with this report coming out?
With the windfall, yeah.
As I say, if something is a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And this is a form of coercion. And I was having a conversation recently with someone, and he asked about the vaccines. And I said, I really don't think that we should be forcing people to do this. And he said, well, we're not forcing people. And I said, we are coercing people. They are working through employers. They're working through things like this to really coerce people. And so you go over to, we haven't mentioned it for a while, but that is Rudyard Kipling. He says, I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who. And so, Terry Goon, I have all kinds of questions about this. Why are they doing this? I can't quite get my brain on it. I think the truth will come out at some point, but I can't quite understand why all the coercion.
I don't understand it either. But when you just read that, that was the first I had heard. But basically, they're taking money out of somebody's pocket who doesn't want a vaccine to pay a third party to convince that person to get the vaccine. That $8.8 million?
It's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money. In what a period of time? Did that just start so it's only going for 2 months? Or I don't know
for sure when it started. I did not look all the way through that.
Add to that $8.8 million the $100 Walmart gift cards that the Gov is handing out.
Or wasn't there a $5 million? There was a million. I mean, yeah. This is pretty amazing. And then, of course, you can drive by and it says it's a free vaccine. Well, somebody has to pay for that. And I'm just really, really concerned about that. One other thing before we go to break, and this really made me sad. I saw this yesterday. This was from the Denver Channel. It says, Denver's mayor joins national push for reparations. Denver's mayor, Michael Hancock, is joining a group of leaders in major U.S. cities that supports a plan to pay reparations to Black Americans for slavery. The group is called Mayors Organized for Reparations and Equity or More. And it says, according to Moore's website, Black Americans are still five times more likely to live in high poverty neighborhoods than white Americans. And as they go through that, let's go back to Johnson's Great Society, where in essence, he basically broke down the family, the Black family to begin with, but the family across the spectrum. And so much money has been put into this social engineering plan that really hasn't worked. And granted, there were things that occurred, but it typically had come out of Democrat policies. Jim Crow was from Southern Democrats. And to get to where we are now, I mean, we had a Black president, we have a Black mayor. Granted, there were things that happened in the past, but in America, there's great opportunity in this idea that because of something that happened so long ago, that again, it's an excuse to take from one person to give to another. And I guarantee you, as the money goes by, all these politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties take a big cut. So it really isn't about helping people. It's about another way, I think, of funding politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties. Terry Goon, do you want to weigh in on this before we go to break?
I absolutely agree with you. My question is, how are they going to determine who is an ancestor of slavery? Many, many, many people have Black blood in them. Are they going to do DNA tests, or is it just the color of your skin?
And what about if your ancestors wasn't even here during that time?
Right.
Your ancestors didn't get here until the Great Migration in the late 1800s.
Exactly.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah. And here he is at the pinnacle of leadership in the city. I mean, it just really doesn't make sense to me. But we're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, I wanted to let you know that Castlegate Knife and Tool, on August 5th from 3 to 6 p.m., they're going to have their EDC Sharpening Day. They're offering one free, and EDC is their everyday carry sharpening event to all knife enthusiasts, and again, 3 to 6 p.m. It says whether your EDC is a kitchen knife or a pocket knife, we have you covered. So there will be food and drinks, and it says stop by, mingle, chat blades, and hashtag stay sharp. And again, you can have one knife sharpened. If you have other knives, you can go ahead and get them in queue for that. But check out castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. Looks like a great idea. It's a new service that they're doing. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Carolyn Martin.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who support us. We greatly appreciate that. In studio with me is Terry Goon. She is the president of Liberty Toastmasters North. It's Table Topics Day on the Kim Munson Show. It's great having you here.
Thank you, Kim. I'm excited to be here. Very first time.
And you're doing great. So that's awesome. On the line with us is Carolyn Martin. As you know, Patty Kurgan, our researcher, and I have been really looking at this LEAP. It's Initiative 25, very possibly going to be on the ballot. It's Learning Enrichment and Academic Progress Program. And it is a proposal to raise state retail marijuana taxes for the children. It's like, what could go wrong with that? And I put 10 points, 10 reasons to decline to sign. And Carolyn Martin, who is with the Christian Home Educators of Colorado, reached out to me and she said, Kim, you have something in there that's not quite accurate. It's like, ugh, I hate that when that happens, but we got to get it right. So, Carolyn Martin, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kim. Thanks for having me this morning.
Okay, so the point that I had was I had said that it was this LEAP was not really available to homeschoolers. But in essence, it is that people could actually use the different programs for their kids, this after-school thing. But it's the homeschoolers, the parents, cannot be providers. And so I'm going to need to make that clarification, correct?
That's right. Yeah, while the initiative does talk about home, parents can't be providers for their children, which would exclude homeschoolers in their typical homeschooling activities, it doesn't preclude them from getting involved in this program and using it.
Okay. But there are concerns with that, and you mentioned this, and I've got it here in front of me, and that was on page 6 where they talk about outcomes. And there was one other headline that Patty had on here, and there was a school district, I think, in Scottsdale, Arizona, where they were doing questionnaires about kids, about what's going on at home. And so I kind of see this evaluation system as a problem. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, part of this program is data collection. You know, they want to know if they're successful. If they're putting out this money for these programs, they're going to want to know if they're successful. So they're going to start collecting data on these children that are in the program. They want academic data, but it also talks about long-term life outcomes. Now, as homeschoolers, we do not give any data to the state at all about our progress, or any of that other stuff. So how are they going to do that? If we're in the program, they're going to start wanting that data, and that's problematic for us because one of the things that I work hard for is to keep the government out of our home education.
Okay. And I just found this this article. This was from Reason. And it says that officials in one Arizona school district are learning just how seriously families take privacy after parents were asked to consent to letting their children be questioned about a checklist of sensitive subjects, including illegal behavior, income, and gun ownership. The district quickly backtracked, claiming the consent form hadn't been properly vetted, that such private information would never be sought. Carolyn, I see this across the spectrum, this continual collection of data on all of us. And it makes sense to me to have in here, they would want to try to measure outcomes. But yet, in this language, there's the opportunity for, I think, tremendous overreach, which is something that has you very concerned, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's always a concern. And anytime they're collecting data, they want more data. I mean, we've seen that, right, with the immunization stuff. That's why they wanted all the immunization data in their centralized database. They want all this data on us, and we don't want them to have it. You see, this is the problem. So, yeah, this is total overreach. But if you're going to use one of those programs, I can see why they would want that, right? They want to know what they're getting for their money.
Right. Now, homeschooling, I'm just anecdotally saying that it seems like homeschooling, at least the many of the homeschoolers or students that I have seen have been really doing well academically. It seems like many times our spelling bee winners are homeschoolers. And that seems like that's a pretty good way to measure success. I am very concerned about this particular initiative, because it puts in place an unelected, unaccountable board with the authority to collect taxes, increase taxes. And what about the accountability to them, where you mentioned that there's this accountability that they have regarding data collection, but there is no accountability to the voters, to the legislature, or the Department of Education? I see a big problem with that, Carolyn Martin.
Absolutely. That is the biggest problem with this whole initiative, is that it is unaccountable. There is no way for us as citizens. They're using our money to try to rein them in if they go rogue on this program. And there is no way really to get rid of it. I mean, one of the things they can do is take out loans. I mean, loans last a long time. So even if we don't like this program, even if the government decides they don't like this program, it's going to be hard to upend this program once it gets in place.
Right. And just to give a little more information, if you've been listening, I think you're understanding this, but this governor would appoint these board members. There would be 9 board members. And then they will basically pick their replacements. So even if we do the hard work and we get a Republican governor elected, this is already off over by itself. And as you mentioned, how scary is that, that we could have, again, unelected, unaccountable bureaucrats that can take out loans that we, the people, have to pay? Now, there is this, they're saying, oh, it's a sin tax because it's a tax on marijuana. And that's how they initially, I think, get that through. But who's to say what happens down the road on that? But to have an unelected group that can actually take out loans that we, the people, have to pay, that's a big concern too, Carolyn.
Absolutely. And I just wanted to point out with that board, because we were talking about this when I spoke with you about it, is that there are these non-voting members of this board that are students. And this is where I got concerned, because they actually talk about homeschoolers being eligible to serve on that non-voting board as a non-voting board member. And that's the key for me to say, as somebody who watches over home education law, to say they're going to target homeschoolers as well. And so that's where we come in and say no.
Okay.
This is not good. So, yeah, you're absolutely right on everything that you've been putting out. I just wanted to correct that little piece.
Okay.
And warn homeschoolers, yeah, that you need to not sign this thing, too. This is not good. It might sound good. in the little thing that they present to you on the petition, but it's not good.
Well, and the other thing is the ballot title on the petition that you're looking at is inconsistent mm-hmm. with the actual initiative, which is 14 pages long. And right there, that is of tremendous concern. Just one other thing here. It mentions that one of the goals that it will provide tutoring and supplemental academic instruction in core subject areas, including reading, mathematics, science, and writing. The question on the table is, why are kids falling behind? Of course, we saw the whole COVID shutdown this last year in public schools, which many of those kids really lost that year. And you can never get third grade back. You'll have to try to reclaim that. But we have to ask, why is that happening in public schools? And I submit to you, the reason is because instead of focusing on these core subjects like reading, mathematics, science, and writing, we've got the CRT, critical race theory, or the cousins of that, or whatever, and also sexualizing our children through the LGBTQ agenda. And if we were taking those hours in the day, they're limited, and teachers' resources, and teaching what our kids really need to learn to be successes in their lives, we would not even have to have the conversation about something like this, Carolyn.
That is so true. And even when you look at what this program is trying to offer, it goes way beyond reading, writing, and math. I mean, really, it talks about mental health services, social emotional learning, mentoring, career and technical education training, language acquisition. I mean, this is all stuff that should be provided with the family, within the family unit, and not with the public schools. So the public schools should be doing what they were tasked to do, is to teach academics and not all this other stuff. And then they're going to add another program that actually provides some of that other stuff as well.
So it's like they would have children through the whole school day and then afterwards as well. And when I look at a number of the organizations that are endorsing this, one of them even had contributed to Black Lives Matter. Another was quoting Angela Davis and on their website had the fists. And so I'm concerned about who these pre-selected vendors will be. This board will select these vendors. And parents, they only have the choice of those vendors. So it's like you can have any color car you want as long as you want a black car. There's no choice really on that, and because they will be selecting that. And maybe not at first. I was talking with someone that has been supporting this and said there will be a diversity of vendors to begin with. Maybe so. But take a look. Unelected board picking their own their replacements chosen by this governor. I mean, if you don't see danger with that, I don't quit. It just seems like it's like as plain as the side of a barn to me. Carolyn Martin, what's your last thought you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
That everybody should not sign on to this initiative. We need to not do this. You have till August 2nd. They have till August 2nd to get their signatures, and we need to say no, and that includes homeschoolers.
Right. And if you have signed it, we have the information, and you can get your signature off of that as well. Carolyn Martin, thank you so much. I will get my op-ed corrected, and I appreciate you reaching out to make sure that we're accurate on everything that we say.
Thank you, Kim.
Okay, we're going to go to break. When we come back, it is Liberty Toastmasters Day, table topics. The suggested subject is awakening versus wokeism. In studio with me is Terry Goon. We'll be right back.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air. We are an alternative to a lot of the noise out there as we search for truth and clarity. Look at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. I am thrilled to have in studio with me Terry Goon. She is recently been elected to the presidency of Liberty Toastmasters North. And Terry, I always learn so much when we do this. So it's great to have you here.
Thanks, Kim. It's fun to be here.
Okay. Who's our first caller, our first guest?
Our first guest today is Greg Morrissey from Liberty Toastmasters North versus Denver. So welcome, Greg.
Welcome. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Greg, the question on the table is awakening versus wokeism. What's your thoughts on that?
That's a great topic that is coming. I see a lot of people waking up, and I see a lot of people becoming aware of the situation. I don't think the press is telling the whole story. And I come from one form of press that I really like is the Epoch Times. The Epoch Times right now is publishing a whole series on the Constitution. And if you go to their website, they have the recording of a discussion between these experts on law and the Constitution, and it was really, really good. I would encourage all your listeners to go to it, go to the Epoch Times and take a look at it. They have a whole series of getting one re-educated back to that priceless document, the Constitution.
Greg, normally I hear the word re-education, and I'm very concerned about it, but I think in this case it's used in a good way.
Correct, yeah. It's not taught as it should be taught. Like even some of the stuff I've brought up with my children when they were going to school, I said they shouldn't be able to graduate high school without passing a test on it. Get to know what the Constitution is, the history it is, how well it's written, and how we'll keep this country the way God wants to keep this country.
Greg, do you feel that we are having an awakening? It seems like this whole wokeism is on more speed right now, and I'm concerned about that. Do you feel that we are moving towards awakening, or is wokeism gaining steam?
Well, I think a lot of the press would like the wokeism to gain steam, but just a lot of the people I speak to regularly, my workmates and like people that I associate with, a lot of people are saying this country's heading the wrong direction. And I come across as in a firm but polite manner, then get off them feet and walk and get the country going in the right direction. It's not just me, it's got to be we.
Okay, and what would you suggest to people to do, Greg? Kind of your final thought this morning.
Go to the Epoch Times website and look what they're doing for the Constitution. Look how they're presenting it. Look at the classes they're having on it. They're trying to get everyone to get back to knowing that Constitution. It's right now, it's free. Please go back and take a look and get to know it. And I've got my little Constitution book with me right here. It's not that long of a read.
No, it's not.
Read it on your lunch break. Read it on your coffee break.
It sounds like a good plan, and the declaration doesn't take very long either. So, hey, Greg Morrissey.
No, it doesn't.
Greg Morrissey, thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you very much. I enjoy the privilege.
Well, thank you. And Greg always has great thoughts on things. Who's our next guest, Terry Goon?
Our next guest is from the Denver Club, Bruce Porter. Welcome.
Hey, good morning.
Bruce, the question on the table is awakening versus wokeism.
Right. Well, I tend to look at wokeism as a cult of perpetual offense. It's Marxist in nature. It pits people against one another in our society. And contrasting that to being awakened, awakening to me is awakening more to your own faults rather than the faults of everybody else in society. We have a militant force, evangelists, if you will, with a cult of wokeism that is seeking, by whatever means, to impose offenses upon everybody else and to convince, and if not convince, then force everyone else to conform to their bizarre ideas. And I call them bizarre because they're not reasonable. You know, when we had a report this morning on WND about gypsy moths coming into the target sites of the woke scientists, that it's somehow offensive to call moths gypsy moths. And this is just one of a whole litany of perpetual offense that we hear that we're all supposed to conform to, but we're not dealing with a reasonable set of thoughts. We're not dealing with reasonable people. We're dealing with people who are driven primarily, I think, by a sense of guilt in their own lives, and so they're projecting that out on everybody else for the sake of social justice.
Bruce, when you mentioned the word guilt, I was talking with a good friend of mine yesterday, and what is tragic, I think, about the left is that there is really no forgiveness for others, but I actually think there's probably no forgiveness to themselves as well. And that's a tragic way to live, Bruce.
It is. It is. And I would contrast my own awakening personally as a Christian and as a follower of Jesus Christ, that I was awakened, first of all, to my own faults and my own sin, and the offer of forgiveness given to me through Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't force me to conform everybody else to my standards, but it does give me a basis that I can reasonably look at the world and offer grace and forgiveness to other people, just as I've received it for myself. These new evangelists, and it's really a religion, I think, these new evangelists of wokeism is, as we said, an imposition of standards of offenses. It's the church of perpetual offense that must be enforced by everybody. And it offers no forgiveness. It offers no grace. There is no end game, and unless you consider the end game a completely conformed society where everyone thinks the same way and chants the same chants and, you know, holds to the same orthodoxy. And of course, it's all based on offense. It's a perpetual offense.
Bruce, my thoughts on it, in our Bill of Rights, where it says that basically Congress shall, now I'm having a Joe Biden moment on the exact, but they shall not force a national religion, if you will. I now look at this wokeism. I look at the green, the climate change push and all this. This has become a religion, and they are using government money, government policy to push forth that religion. And the founders knew that that would be a problem. Of course, we always thought it was more over in religion as we used to think about it. But religion is a belief system, and it seems like there is a belief system that is being pushed by government right now. Your final thought on that, Bruce?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, they were looking at the idea that it's not just a Christian religion expression, you know, in society, different sects and different denominations, but it's a mindset that forces wokeism or a set of beliefs or a set of standards on everyone else. The French Revolution was one of the best examples of that, you know, running almost contemporaneously with our own revolution here in America. Theirs, however, was based on a secular view of man as being intrinsically good but evil in the way he thinks, and so they were seeking to disimpose their standards on everyone through the guillotine or whatever other means they found. And so we live in a time when we have to actively become aware that we're dealing with people who are not reasonable. They are moved by emotions, moved by rage, moved by anger, and in envy, frankly, envy. It's a cult of envy. And so You know, it's a battle that's been imposed upon us, and we have to engage it. We have to fight it at every stand that we have.
And we do that in this battle of ideas. Bruce Porter, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, it was a pleasure and an honor to be with you again.
Thank you. I always learn a lot, Terry Goon.
Oh, he sounds great. I've never met him.
Okay, yeah. He's very good. We have such great members. I learn something from everybody that speaks. Who's our next guest?
Our next guest is also from the Denver Club, the Denver Liberty Toastmasters Club, Kurt Gerwitz.
Okay. Kurt, welcome to the show. And the question on the table is awakening versus wokeism.
Good morning, Kim. Thanks for having me on. What a challenging question this is, and the battle of ideas is so fascinating. You know, I certainly am more interested in talking about the awakening piece because that's the positive side, and I really think it's important in any debate or any conversation to do a technique that I've learned recently called steel manning. And this is, we can oppose this idea to straw manning, which is when you put up an idea and your opponent's ideas as something that they wouldn't even try to defend, or they're ridiculous and they're easy to knock down. But if we try to steel man what is happening in this conversation or on the wokeism side, we can really see that, like, there is some good in that, right? Like, there is, you know, this idea that society is not just. I personally, you know, find the lottery birth to be one of them, the world's greatest injustice. None of us chose our parents, right? None of us actually even chose what country we were born into. And that's, you know, we're blessed to be born in America and with all the opportunities we've had. And I also think a lot of our ideas that, you know, that we've, this is the battle of ideas we're talking about. I don't think we have the ideas the way we think we do. I think a lot of our ideas have us, let's put it that way. And so it's, the awakening, we've got to acknowledge it's the beauty and the goodness that's in there of trying to create a better society, and we've really got to get ourselves in the shoes of the other and see the actual injustices that are real and are very painful, that are causing people to be attracted to this sort of reactionary wokeism that you're bringing up there, Kim.
I'm thinking about this, the injustices of life isn't just, though, Kurt. It's, I guess I shouldn't say, and life isn't fair. Somebody said to me the only real fair is the county fair and the state fair. And so we have to understand that. But what's happened, I think there's a difference between awakening and wokeism, how they would address injustice. Would you agree with that, Kurt?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I just see them as being in such very different realms. I think a lot about awakening in a religious and spiritual perspective, where it's, you know, it's leading with love and being present to the moment, and that's, you know, personally transformative. And then you go into wokeism, and it's what you guys are, you know, what we've been describing as, you know, some politically motivated grab for control and power, which is terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks for clarifying that. What's your final thought you'd like to leave with our listeners today, Kurt?
I think that, you know, that the answers to these deep questions have to start with love. And not start with fear, but boy, that love does need to be tempered with the fear that I'm hearing.
Okay, Kurt Gerwitz, it's always great to have conversations with you. Thanks so much, and really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, Terry Goon, we're going to go to break. Again, I sometimes I get speechless on this. It's like, wait, I'm on the radio. I need to talk because I'm thinking about all of these things. But we're going to go to break. Before we do that, another great sponsor of mine is Hooters Restaurants. And they have 5 locations, Lone Tree, Westminster, Aurora, Colorado Springs, and Loveland. And they have all kinds of specials, but they have lunch specials. And they have $8 items, Baja fish tacos, lunch burger with curly fries, or smoked wings with curly fries. They have $9 items, which are shrimp tacos, chicken strips, a chicken garden salad, or a buffalo chicken garden salad, or a Philly cheesesteak, and $10 items, which could be fish and chips, a buffalo chicken sandwich, or a Western burger. And I was out recently, had breakfast, and paid the bill. And I was a little surprised, delicious breakfast, but no meat in it. And for two people, it was $32. And I'm thinking, gosh, I was a little shocked on that. So these specials, I think, look pretty good, Terry Goon.
Those do look good, yeah.
Yeah, $8, $9, and $10 specials. Go to my website. That is kimmunson.com. Click on our sponsors tab. Highly recommend each and every one of them. And click on the Hooters tab, and you can get all their specials. We're going to go to break. Terry Goon is in studio with me, and we'll be right back.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air, and greatly appreciate you. In studio with me is the newly elected president of Liberty Toastmasters North. That is Terry Goon, and it is great having you here.
Thank you, Kim. Thank you very much.
And learning a lot from our fellow Toastmasters. And let's talk just a little bit about Toastmasters. There is Liberty Toastmasters North, which meets in Longmont the second and fourth Saturdays of each month.
That's right.
And Liberty Toastmasters Denver meets the first and third. And we love having guests. And people can get more information at, is it?
Well, we generally recommend going to Toastmasters.org and entering your zip code, because you can get to the Liberty Toastmasters the fastest that way.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. And we love having guests. And I always learn so much. This table topics that we're doing, typically it's impromptu. People do not know the subject until they get to the meeting that morning. We actually had given each of our callers a little bit of time to think about this. But I always, again, I learn so much from people on this. And this thinking on your feet is so important in this day and age. So Terry, tell us about our next guest.
Thank you, Kim. And I agree, it is great to practice at Toastmasters. Our next guest is from Liberty Toastmasters North, Marshall Dawson, the previous president. So your previous guest here. Marshall, what do you have to say about wokeism versus awakeism?
Hey, good morning, Terry. Yeah, and I did have some time to think about this. And I was surprised to learn that 85 years ago is roughly when we first got the lexicon of woke versus and racism and all of that in our speech. And, you know, nobody can deny that back in the middle of the last century that we did have some race problems. I grew up in Kentucky, so I definitely saw this, spent a lot of time in the Deep South, saw some of the effects. But, you know, nobody could ever deny that we didn't know about it, that there should never have been a time of awakening. It was obvious. It really came into our modern lexicon when Black Lives Matter brought it to us, courtesy of Michael Brown, and you remember Hands Up, Don't Shoot. But this really fueled the narrative that there are all these white supremacists walking around, that blacks are in fear and they require special privileges. But that was all alive. We know now, and thanks to testimony from black individuals, that Michael Brown was not surrendering. He was attacking a police officer in his cruiser. And if you look at this and you know, all the other types of topics that now get thrown into wokeism, it really led me to this conclusion. And that is that if you buy into wokeism, you have to willfully overlook certain objective truths. Mm-hmm. Right? It was a lie that police are gunning down unarmed blacks in America. And what has happened is this has allowed Marxist thought to build lies on top of lies on top of lies, so that now we are arguing over equity or anti-racism. You know, are we teaching CRT in schools or aren't we? Is it not really CRT? But fundamentally, we also have to look at who this hurts. It hurts the people who it's purportedly helping, and that is Black people. And speaking of awakening, I'm thrilled that in 2021, now Americans of all colors are truly waking up to this evil and calling it what it is, and that is just simply blatant racism.
Marshall, are you encouraged? I'm a bit troubled with just this, you know, this like morph speed on this wokeism right now. And it's maybe I should look at it positively, that it looks to me like a desperation move on those that have been pushing this forward. What's your thoughts?
Well, Kim, you know me. I'm always a glass half empty person. But it is so encouraging that we have lots and lots of people who are standing up. And, you know, as I say, it's people of all colors. We can't look at people as a homogeneous community. It would be incorrect to say that all Black people are demanding reparations. It's only the really hardcore activists. So I am encouraged. I think that we are moving the ball in the right direction down the field right now.
Okay. Well, Marshall Dawson, thank you so much. And Terry Goon, who's our next guest?
Our next guest is from the Denver Club, Lisa Carnahan. Lisa, what do you think about wokeism versus the awakening?
So I'm looking at the front of the Objective Standard, and they have an article. Their main article is called A Woke New World. There's a picture of a couple of people, just their silhouettes, and presumably burning private businesses behind them. And I think that there was something that they pointed out in this article that was something that's been on my mind. I've been struggling because Martin Luther King was somebody who respected the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. He understood that we had an unalienable right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And he dreamed that we would not be judged by the color of our skin, but by the content of our character. And I just wonder, is that going on right now? Are we doing that? And it's, I guess, very blatant in front of an idea of justice that's based on skin color. That's really bothered me from the beginning of all of this. And I think that the death of George Floyd really amplified this sense of injustice that people have. But as Kim is always speaking about, we are in a great battle of ideas. And Bruce mentioned that he's finding people are moved by emotions, rage, and anger. And I think people need to be, I mean, of course, your emotions are very important. I mean, that gives you your sense of wanting to fight for the ideas that you believe in. But you have to make sure that you're using reason and you're thinking through all the things that you're taking action on that are based by your emotions. And I just, to see the cities burning and the actions that people are taking is just, to me, a gross injustice. And for me, it always comes back to the idea of, you know, what is the proper role of government? And for me and the founding fathers, it was really based in the concept of individual rights, that each person, as Martin Luther King reiterated, has a right to their life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And yes, is racism real? It is real. It's out there. There are people who are racist, but I don't think it's widespread. I think most people do embrace the idea that Martin Luther King had hoped and dreamed about. And I think we have to remind people of that. And in order to be really get fire under us for the ideas that we think are right, so that we're able to articulate the things that we think, I would recommend to people to read the Objective Standard. It's a great journal that Craig Biddle puts out, and the people really reason through everything. People research, and that would be great if you're looking out like, who thinks like me? That would be a great way to get a resource for that fuel that you need to fire your spirit so that we can stay rational in a time where people are really just losing their heads with emotion. and taking this whole conversation about justice, and actually people are pursuing injustice.
Lisa,
you really have to understand those concepts, those ideas, that battle of ideas.
Wow. Thank you so much on that. And I'm just going to say racism, I would say, is when you only define people by the color of their skin. And that can occur across the spectrum. Lisa Carnahan, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Terry Goon, many of our guests say that this is one of the fastest hours that they ever spend is on this show. Would you agree?
I absolutely agree. I just checked my watch and it's like, whoa.
What's your final thought you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
There was so much of every one of those topics, people, that I agree with. I absolutely agree with. One thing, I love Andrew Breitbart, and so I think often about bringing back the vocabulary too, so that we own it. Wokeism is basically being alert to any injustice. And there's nothing wrong with that, but woke is virtue signaling. It's sanctimonious, and that's irritating. And it has switched so much to where somebody, somewhere, I don't know who it is determining what we're to be woke about. Do gypsies really, are they bothered by the gypsy moth title? I don't know. Somebody decided that.
And I think this is also a function of a society that we have so many blessings that we're able to, it's remarkable to me that we're trying to tear it down.
Yes.
So Terry Goon, it's been great having you in studio. And again, people can get more information about Liberty Toastmasters by doing what?
Going to Toastmasters.org and entering your zip code, find a club, and then look up Liberty Toastmasters.
Look up Liberty Toastmasters. Very good. It's great having you here.
Thank you. Thank you.
And our quote for today is Sidney Harris. He says, the most important thing in an argument, next to being right, is to leave an escape hatch for your opponent so that he can gracefully swing over to your side without too much apparent loss of face. So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
Through the mountains climbing, twisting, turning further from my home. Young, like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want